Our opening hymn today is Joyful, Joyful. The words were written by Henry Van Dyke in 1907, and he wrote this hymn while staying at the home of Harry Garfield at William College, Massachusetts. It was first published in the 1911 Presbyterian hymnal, and it also appears in the poems of Henry Van Dyke in 1911. The music is Ode to Joy from the Ninth Symphony, fourth movement of Ludwig van Beethoven, and it was arranged by Edward Hodges. These verses are simply expressions of common Christian feelings and desires in this present time. Hymns of today that may be sung together by people who know the thought of the age and are not afraid that any truth of science will destroy religion or any revolution on earth overthrow the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, this is a hymn of trust and joy and hope. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Prayer time, we have the Lord's Prayer sung by Andrea Bocelli.
Thank you. as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory
of the hymn Blessed Assurance. Fanny Crosby was visiting her friend Phoebe Knapp as the Knapp home was having a large pipe organ installed. The organ was incomplete, so Mrs. Knapp, using the piano, played a new melody she had just composed. When Knapp asked Crosby, "What do you think the tune says?" Crosby replied, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine." The popular song reflects Fanny Crosby's walk of faith, as expressed by the Apostle Paul in Philippians 1, verse 21. "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Because of Crosby's lyrics, the tune is now called Blessed Assurance.
Thank you.
God's tithes and our offerings. Giving to someone is an absolute pleasure if we love that person. In fact, if our love is great, our giving is limitless. It's certainly not regarded as a hardship. Our love for God extends to our giving to his work. So often we express our love in hymns and music of all sorts, and these are lovely ways to tell God how much we do love him. But loving includes giving of finance too. Therefore, there is now an opportunity given in this part of the service to express our love for God by allowing finance to be channeled to whichever church or ministry from which you feel you are receiving a blessing. We come now to our musical moments. First of all, we have a choral piece, All That I Have. This is sung by the Royal Oak Songsters with band accompaniment. My good friend Richard Phillips composed some lovely music to my words, All That I Have. This is followed by a brass piece entitled By Love Compelled. It's a meditation by Colonel Ray Steadman Allen. In Ray's own words, he gives us an insight to the meditation. Under the compulsion of God's love, men seek and receive divine forgiveness. This thought is demonstrated in two songs, O Saviour, I Am Coming, and Take All My Sins Away. The sequel, Desire for Consecration and Service, finds its expression in the chorus, All My Days and All My Hours. First of all, then, All That I Am, followed by Love Compelled.
Thank you.
Our Bible read today is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul writes, I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it from me, but he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The hymn, Fill Thou My Life, O Lord My God, was written by Horatio Bonner, who studied at the University of Edinburgh. He is known for writing the Kelso tracts. He was a famous evangelical preacher and poet. Fill Thou My Life, O Lord My God, in every part with praise. a poem entitled In Obedience, which can be sung to the tune Just As I Am. Each day presents a choice for us, God's word to heed or disobey, to listen or to disregard the tasks he has for us each day. God's voice we dearly want to hear, to learn the detail of his plan. But trusting where we cannot see can often seem beyond mere man. But there are words in Holy Writ placed there for us, for you and me. And God its mysteries will reveal the things we find so hard to see. Then having read and understood, by grace let's seek God to obey. That every choice we make each day, his life in us, we will display. Our vocal soloist, Sandra Enterman, brings to us now a vocal solo, Through It All.
For tomorrow, there've been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials only came to make me strong. I've been to lots of places, and I've seen so many faces. There've been times I felt so all alone. But in my lonely hours, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know I was his own. In Jesus, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I have learned to depend upon his word. Thank God for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys, and I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them, and I'd never know what faith in God can do. Trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I have learned to depend upon his word. Through it all, through it all, I have learned to trust in Jesus. Learn to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I have learned to depend upon his word. I have learned to depend upon
When we think of those who are highlighted in the Bible for the wonderful work they did for God, we're tempted to conclude that they are very different from the sort of people we are, even though we try to be available and used by God. But here in these verses, Paul, who we are inclined at times to elevate to saintly behaviour, lays his nature bare for us. He seems to stand outside of himself and asks us to accept that when he says, "I know a man," that man is himself. And as he looks at the experience which he's had, he has a wonder about it. His use of the word paradise can perhaps help us to understand the verses. The word paradise comes from a Persian word meaning a walled garden. When a Persian king wanted to confer an honour on someone, he made him a companion of the garden, which gave him the privilege of walking in the royal gardens with the king. In what Paul describes, he's saying that he has been in the company of God. But lest we should assume that Paul lived on a series of highs, he quickly goes on to tell us that he has experienced a thorn in his flesh. The word translated thorn actually means a stake. What that was, many academics have speculated over the years, and they have suggested many things, from spiritual temptations, which would tempt him away from doing God's work, to carnal temptation, which is the Roman Catholic belief to this present day. And others have suggested other ideas. But Paul's word is dramatic and tells us that whatever the stake may have been, it was savage for him. Like scholars of old, we could add our thoughts to what the thorn was that people endured. Suggestions have included epilepsy, which could have produced trances like Paul described. It was a condition that in the ancient world, it was attributed to demons, and people who encountered epileptics would spit on them to ward off the demons. The oldest suggestion is that Paul suffered from eye trouble, which caused severe headaches. It brings to our minds the vision Paul had on the Damascus Road. After the glory Paul had there, he was blind, and perhaps his eyes were never the same again. Without over-speculating exactly what the thorn was, it could have been some form of malaria, in which some have described as being like a red-hot poker thrust through the forehead. Whatever it was, it bordered on the extreme of human endurance. Not surprisingly, Paul asked God three times to take it away from him. But as often happens, God answered Paul by giving him the strength to bear it. Perhaps you have met someone who is undergoing the kind of pain of their circumstances which to us would be unbearable. In Paul's life, he encountered opposition besides physical pain, and even slander and misjudgment. He discovered in the agony of his thorn or stake that when God told him his grace would be sufficient to carry him through the severest trial, it proved to be true. Those thoughts, about which many commentators have written volumes, still have meaning for us today. We're not on our own in the difficulties we face. Many of us can say, as Paul said, "I know a man," and really be talking about themselves. All of us at some time in life face times which test us to the human limit of our endurance. Some of us are fortunate to have wonderful helping relatives and friends, but even so, the difficulties cause us to know the pain of being isolated. No one can really take away the pain, however much they care about us. I'd like to share this thought with anyone who feels their situation is indescribable in the pain which it causes, and we wonder how we can keep going. When we read that God says his grace will be sufficient, although we want nothing less than the situation to be removed, God offers us a miracle by providing his grace to endure the burdens. Now, lest we should think that can't relieve the pain of our own or a relative's suffering, even when that suffering is terminal, or when the carer feels they are reaching the end of their ability to cope, God provides his miraculous grace, which defies description, yet is so very real in that it covers all our difficulties, all our demands, and all our doubts. When we say, I know a man, and it says to the world that it's us who are at the extremity of being able to cope, God is saying his ability to cope with our inability to cope, he will call grace. I accept that our question will often be, but how do we find in this message from God that his grace will supply all we need if the physical and mental burden we are carrying is too much for us to bear? What can possibly do that when the daily toll on us is overwhelming? The answer is that he is God, and his ability exceeds every situation we will ever face. This is the God who, after seeing the unbearable agony Jesus suffered on the cross, did not spare him from that suffering, because God's love for the world was needed for us to benefit from the sacrifice for our sin. But the resurrection followed, and we can only imagine the joy of the reuniting in heaven of God and his beloved Son. A God who endured so much suffering for us can understand our circumstances, however unbearable to us they may be. We understate what God can do for us in our unbearable situations, because grace seems so often just a pleasant word. I feel led to ask all of us to add to the word grace another word, miraculous. The miraculous grace of God will meet our needs, even when we feel we are at the very end of our ability to cope. Dear friends, I commend you to a God who not only can, but will meet your every need, no matter how desperately it's exhausting you. And he will do it by his miraculous grace. I pray you will, in these moments, sense the miraculous grace happening that God has for you.
Through a storm.
benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.